Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Yannick, Fear and Desire, and You'll Never Find Me.
Today I'd like to talk about three films which, as often happens, are really very different from each other. And I'd like to start with a French movie called Yannick. That is a name, Yannick. And it was written and directed by Quentin Dupieux. And he is a really interesting filmmaker, in my opinion. And I want to call his name to people's attention because he tends to make movies that are fairly brief, often just a little over an hour long. This one is something like an hour and 6 minutes long. Okay. And they are extremely whimsical and creative and offbeat in their subject matter and in their treatment. Now, my favorite is a movie that he made almost 15 years ago, a movie called Rubber. And believe it or not, this is about a malicious, evil, maybe haunted tire, like an automobile tire. I just found it really funny. And anyway, that's not the first of his movies I saw. That happens to be my favorite. Other movies of his that I rather like, a movie called Keep an Eye Out, which is sort of a police movie, but it actually involves somebody who is missing an eye. Deerskin, Mandibles, Incredible But True, Smoking Causes Coughing. Some of these have a sort of a science fictional slant, and those are sort of my least favorites. But anyway, they're very, very offbeat and unusual, and they can be found often streaming, and I suggest checking him out. Again, Quentin or Quentin Dupieux. Yannick is his brand new movie. And here's what it is about. We begin by seeing a stage play in performance, and the actors are acting this play, and we can't really tell whether the play is any good or not, but there they are. They're up there on the stage. There's an audience. It's not a huge audience. Not all the seats are filled, but okay, that's fine. And then after a bit of this, a young man stands up in the audience, announces that his name is Yannick, and that he really isn't enjoying this play. Well, people said, that's too bad. Maybe other people are enjoying it. He says, yeah, this is important to me. I have this job. I work at night. I'm a security guard in a parking lot. And I had to take the night off. And I had to travel here. It took me about a 45-minute train ride and then a 15-minute walk. And I went to all this trouble, plus I bought my ticket. And now I'm not enjoying it. This isn't fair. Something has to be done about this. Well, there's a little bit of back and forth with him. And eventually, the audience kind of turns against him. The other people in the audience and the people on the stage are sort of arguing with him. But, you know, hey, okay. Eventually, he does decide that he's just going to leave and just give up. So he's in the process of doing that when he changes his mind and he goes back into the auditorium and he pulls out a gun, a pistol, which he had with him all along. And this is in France, where I think the gun control laws are pretty strict. So, okay, that's interesting. And now he's going to do something about this bad stage play performance using his gun. So the next thing you know, well, the movie proceeds on its way. The next thing you know, he is trying to force the actors, cajole, bully them into doing something about the play that they're doing. And then he decides he's going to write his own play. And that means getting a computer from somebody in the audience and having somebody else run to another part of the building and bring a printer. And then he writes this play and he doesn't know how to type. So that takes quite a while. And here the movie is not, shall we say, entirely realistic, because eventually they have what appears to be a play. And now the actors are doing that. And it's apparently a pretty awful play, which the actors hate. And then other people in the audience are now expressing their own discontents. One person gets very angry and walks out. Other people take sides. They side with the people on the stage, or maybe they side with Yannick, but maybe that's only because he is still the one with the gun and that sort of thing. So this is a very, very typical Quentin Dupieux movie in that it is very, very whimsical, very, in a way, nonsensical. And yet it has an absolutely linear storyline, which you can follow. And parts of it are actually pretty funny. Quentin, the main character of the movie, is played by Raphael Quenard, and a good cast joins in. There's a long, long list of cast members at the beginning of the film, opening credits, and you wonder, how can a movie that's about an hour and 6 minutes long, and the end credits are pretty long, so it's actually less than an hour and 6 minutes long, have so many people in it? Well, apparently they pretty much gave an opening title credit to everybody sitting in the audience of the theater, but there aren't that many of them. So anyway, I found the movie, Yannick, to be a whole lot more entertaining than the play, which the people are watching within the movie, Yannick, and it's just a lot of fun. So not one of the very, very best Quentin Dupieux movies, but very whimsical and fun, and I recommend it, and I recommend checking out Quentin Dupieux's work, generally speaking. I will also mention that he has a new movie already finished, which is going to be the opening night film at this year's Cannes Film Festival. I have been to the Cannes Festival many a time, and I can tell you that the opening night film is not always a very good one. They often go for something that they hope is commercial and will please the audience, and the real artistic fair sometimes comes later. So the fact that it's opening the Cannes Film Festival is not necessarily the highest recommendation, but it's quite a feather in Quentin Dupieux's cap. He's a rising filmmaker. He's an established filmmaker. He's been around for a long time, and he's a lot of fun, and I recommend Yannick, and I recommend his work generally speaking. And now, as I said, something completely different. I want to talk about a movie from way back in 1952, which its own director really hated, and which is back on the screen now in a new version, believe it or not. So we are talking about Fear and Desire. This is one of the very, very, very early feature films directed by Stanley Kubrick. He had made a couple of short films, which aren't bad, by the way. I've seen them. They're perfectly competent. He was a very, very young guy at that time, and he had a full-time job as a photographer for Look magazine, but he always really wanted to make movies. And so he managed to do that. He managed to get a script from Howard Sackler, who in the 60s became a really important American playwright and screenwriter. But in the 50s, he was not so well known, and this movie was done, it was finished back in 1952. So there you had a script by Howard Sackler, and you had it, the first feature film to be directed by the great, great Stanley Kubrick. Well, obviously, this is a very long time before 2001 A Space Odyssey, or The Shining, or Lolita, or Eyes Wide Shut, just to mention a few of his exceedingly major accomplishments. This is his very, very first feature. Once again, we have a film which is a little over an hour long, and it was released in 1952, and it pretty much vanished without a trace. And Kubrick pretty soon started to let it be known that he really wasn't satisfied with this movie, and eventually, well, it is sometimes said that he had every print he could find of it destroyed, which may or may not be true. Well, it wasn't. He didn't get them all if he tried to. And he eventually called it a bumbling exercise and the work of an amateur and all this. So Stanley Kubrick himself really hated this film a little bit later on in time. But at the time, it did get a little bit of a release. And it was released in a version which runs around an hour and 10 minutes long. And not long after that, it started circulating, to the limited extent that it did circulate, in a shorter print, a print that was just barely over an hour long. So now the reason this movie is back in the news and the reason I'm talking about it is that the original release cut, which they're calling the uncut premiere version, has been found. And this often happens with movies, especially obscure movies, but sometimes important movies too. Over the years, they aren't properly taken care of and they get lost, and films do disintegrate after a while, and they have to be stored exactly right or else it's not going to be salvageable. So in this case, a print of the original release version running around 70 minutes has been found, and it is now circulating again. You can find it streaming. And again, the title is Fear and Desire. Well, that's a very very portentous title. My goodness, that certainly sounds like an important work of art, which, by the way, it is not. Kubrick was more or less right about this movie. It's not very good. But it does try to take on really, really, really big themes. The cast includes Frank Silvera, Kenneth Harp, Paul Mazursky, who later on became quite an important filmmaker himself. They play a group of soldiers who are behind enemy lines and trying to make their way to safety. Well, this is an extremely low-budget movie, and so we're not going to see a lot of big battle scenes in this. You're going to maybe see occasionally somebody get shot or somebody shoot or something like that. But there's a little tiny bit of suspense here, yes, as this small band of soldiers, there are only four of them, their commander, and then three lower-ranked people, as they try to make their way to safety and somehow get someplace where they're going to be okay. And along the way, they run across an enemy headquarters, and there's a general there, and then they decide they ought to kill the general. They also run into a dog at one point. That's very pleasant. I like dogs. So they have various little adventures along the way, and I won't tell you how it all comes out. So is it a bumbling exercise? Is it an amateur exercise? Kind of, yeah. I think here and there you can see teensy little glimmers of Stanley Kubrick's talent. Certainly that talent was to blossom in later years. It didn't blossom right away. His next film was sort of a film noir called Killer's Kiss, which is also not that good, but it's way better than Fear and Desire. So he improved as he went along fairly rapidly. But again, these early efforts certainly leave a lot to be desired. He returned to the war theme more than once, Full Metal Jacket, fairly late in his career. Also Paths of Glory, fairly early in his career. And they're both pretty important films. Fear and Desire is not a pretty important film. But anybody curious about what Stanley Kubrick was doing when he was very, very young, and mainly a still photographer, but really, really wanted to make movies and managed to make this movie, and it managed to get out there, and now it's back in a slightly longer version than we've seen before. Check it out. It's sort of fun, if that's the sort of thing that you will enjoy. And now, if you can call that a kind of a horror movie, because it didn't turn out the way the director wanted, and the director really hated it, now I will talk about a real horror movie, a movie called You'll Never Find Me. And this is a film. It was written by Indiana Bell, and it was directed by Bell along with Josiah Allen. And, it has just gotten rapturous reviews. I don't think it quite deserves the rapturous reviews, but hey, it's not too bad. So here is what You'll Never Find Me is about. We have the scene of virtually the entire film is a guy's trailer. This guy named Patrick, and he lives in his trailer, and he obviously lives alone, and his only company is his radio, which seems to always be playing the old 50s song Sleepwalk. Very, very great song here in a vocal version with lyrics, which I don't think I've ever heard before. So anyway, he sits there and he drinks, and he listens to his radio playing Sleepwalk and other things, and there's a huge storm raging outside, really, really a violent storm. So, okay, there he is, banging on the door, bang, 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 bang. What could this be? Danger, perhaps? No, it's a young woman who, for some reason, is out there all alone in the storm. She is soaked to the skin, and so Patrick eventually invites her in. Okay, you can come in and dry off a little bit. And almost the whole movie, virtually the whole thing, pretty much the whole thing, is these two talking to each other in the trailer. However, this is a horror movie, so a lot of the time, the lighting is very low. There's a power failure, and nobody turns on the lights. This is one of the visually darkest movies I've seen in a very long time. There is some light sometimes, but mainly things are very, very dark. Okay. Also, the storm is raging outside through a good part of the film, and the music is going. The spooky, modern-type horror movie music. So that's always going, and that builds a lot of atmosphere. But mainly we have these two talking to each other, and we started wondering, we know this is a horror movie, which one of these two is going to turn out to be the horror? Is the young woman some kind of a horrible menace in some way? She's just wandered in from outside. Or is it Patrick, the older guy? He's kind of big and burly, and he sits there and he drinks and he lives alone, and, you know, maybe he's the one. So, okay. So we wonder that for a very, very long time. So I will say this movie, which is a little over an hour and a half long, I'm not sure exactly when it is, but sometime maybe approaching the 1 hour mark, things take a turn. And of course, there's a lot of mysteries about this. Which one of these people is going to turn out to be the horror? Maybe both of them, maybe neither of them, maybe somebody else is going to come along. Okay, it's that sort of movie. But even within that framework, things are not as they appear to be. So we do discover all kinds of surprises, some of them very violent. There's a little bit of fighting in this movie. There's none of the over-the-top horror movie gore that we so often find nowadays. But it does appear that the young woman from time to time has some sort of hallucinations. At one point, for example, she's taking a shower, not necessarily the safest thing to be doing, by the way, after you've wandered into a total stranger's trailer in the middle of the night, and suddenly there's blood all over the place. Well, what is going on here? Is this a portent of things to come? Is it some supernatural manifestation? Is she having a hallucination? There are little hints like that early in the film that things are not going to all be as they seem. But eventually, we more or less discover what's been going on here, and we more or less find out who is what and what is whom, and the movie works its way to its conclusion. So this is the kind of minimalist horror movie, just a couple of characters, only really one basic setting, that's always a challenge for filmmakers to pull off. You can do it on a low budget, and I do think that these two filmmakers really do have the skill to bring it off reasonably well. It is by no means a classic horror movie. It isn't one of the great minimalist horror movies. I've seen better, but it's not bad. So if you're in the mood for a nice, swift, minimalist, no frills, punchy, punchy, punchy kind of a horror film, then find You'll Never Find Me. It's really not too bad. So that is my only slightly horrific story this week.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Yannick, Fear and Desire, and You'll Never Find Me.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.